This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu,
Arvini Braj.
And of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Ciao.
There you go. She's speaking Italian to us today. Right, so I hope you guys are hungry. Throughout this afternoon show, of course, we will be talking a lot about food, just for a change. Not that we do that very often, right?
Hey, it's the Bersatu for Makan.
Exactly. There is a reason that we are talking about food today, of course. We have the results of Bersatu for Makan, our big food fight. We'll be coming up a little bit later on throughout the show. But what we wanted to ask today, our question was, it's a hypothetical one, but there's a reason behind it. If you could only take one Malaysian dish overseas, which one would you take? Now, the reason we're asking you that is because we have managed to get hold of a bunch of people who are overseas and do make Malaysian food overseas successfully. We're going to be talking to some of those a little bit later on. So we thought we'd ask you, which would you take with you if you could? WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. That's the topic of the day. Do join it. Second story, unfood related, but perhaps if you could do this guy's skill, you might have a lot of food.
A lot of money, because there's a cashier in Japan who stole people's credit cards using his photographic memory.
As if you wouldn't do that if you were a superhero or something.
So just
it's
his
like
eyes.
It's a superpower. It's
It is. Just using his eyes and his brain.
And wrapping up the show, something that neither has eyes nor a brain, we are talking about Amazon's Alexa and how, because of it being unable to answer some of your questions, Amazon have decided that they will start letting random people provide Alexa with answers. What could possibly go wrong with that? All of that coming up on the show. First of all, though, it's food with Jeff.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been having this Malaysian Champions League food fight draw, and it's been really hard. I know Audrey yesterday said that, you know, it's like choosing your favorite child. It's just, you know, it's really difficult.
She's had to have the day off today because of it, you know.
Self-reflection, yeah. Right? What have I done, you know? So the results are out from the semifinals that happened yesterday, which now leads us to the final. So if you want to know what happened in the semis, so Nasi Lemak, the OG of food, the Brazil of food, basically, won 71% against the Banali Fries.
Of course it did.
Yeah. And then the tough one, which we had debates among each other. I know, Rich, you had, you know, very strong opinions on the roti canai. And then me and Arv, we were kind of supporting char kway teow, and char kway teow won by 62%.
I don't know how that
walloping.
Happened.
I wouldn't really say walloping, but I think, you know, it's definitely made some statements that, you know, char kway teow is like the underdog, right? Because it didn't breeze through the rounds, but it, you know, in each and every single round, it was faced with a very tough competition, and it's come through, right? So today we're doing the third place playoff, and of course we are doing the final itself. So in the third place playoff, there is the Banana Leaf Rice up against Richard's Roti Canai. Of course, it's not the roti canai Richard makes, but
because, you know, it would win if we did that,
right? Yes, yeah, of course, definitely. And in the final, we have Nasi Lemak against char kway teow. So you can cast your vote now if you just go on to the Instagram's BFM Radio's Instagram channel, and all you have to do is just click on the story and then vote, cast your vote. I've not voted yet because, like Audrey said, it's like choosing your favorite child. So we were having this discussion while
What time does voting close? Do we know?
So it's only just begun. We have 24 hours before the Instagram story kind of kills off. It's only been half an hour, so you still have another 23 hours and 30 minutes
to think about it.
Yeah, so maybe go out and make sure it's indoors, because the haze today is really, really bad.
Terrible today.
So, you know, go indoors and have char kway teow for lunch, and then have nasi lemak for lunch as well, because it's a long weekend. You know, you've got time to burn off those fats that you've eaten. So yeah, go ahead. And then dinner, do the same thing. Maybe dinner, you do banana leaf and roti canai.
I did a lot of roti canai last night.
Yeah, so you can do that. And then you have time to decide, right? So by the time you get back home, hopefully you don't fall asleep immediately because you had nasi lemak char kway teow, banana leaf rice and roti canai. Hopefully you've got time to sit down and think about it and then cast your vote. And your vote is very important because this is, of course, building up to our big Malaysia Day special that will be launched on Malaysia Day itself. It is the Bersatu for Makan street food documentary, which will come out on the 16th of September. So, I've not voted yet and it's really difficult. But also, you know, later on the second part of our talk set after the break, we will be speaking to a few entrepreneurs in the space who will be sharing their insights on taking the Malaysian food to different countries of the world. And, you know, we've traveled all around the world and, you know, I always have this thing, if you crave for something Asian when you travel, the safest bet is always Indian food or Thai food, because, you know, there's so many variations with Chinese food, so you tend to, you know, you're not sure, like, you know, are you gonna get the Sichuan cuisine, the, you know, there's the Hong Kong, and then there is, like, you know, the Hainanese, right? So they vary. Whereas, you know, Indian cuisine is just, you know, curry and rice or butter chicken. You can get that literally anywhere in the world. And then Thai food is, you know, tom yum and pad thai, right? It may not be the best pad thai in the world because they may cater to different kind of taste buds. So the tom yum may not be as spicy as you would get here, but it's the safest bet. But surprisingly, actually, our own Malaysian food has also that same ability to, you know, be successful abroad. And we have three individuals and they are...
My name is Bashira Yusuf, and I have a little Malaysian restaurant in Seoul called Aga Aga.
I am Samantha Tan. I live in Los Angeles. I'm a home chef. I do caterings, and I also host pop-ups. And I also have a website called Sam Tan's Kitchen, where you can order homemade sambal and kaya and Chinese New Year cookies and things like that.
My name is Mandy Yin, and I opened my first restaurant, Sambal Shiok Laksa Bar, in Highbury and Islington in London in June 2018, last year.
There you go. Bashira Yusuf, the owner of Aga Aga Restaurant in Seoul, Korea. I like the name as well, Aga Aga in Seoul. And then Samantha Tan, she's the creator of Sam Tan's Kitchen, now in Los Angeles, but previously she was in New York and London. And then Mandy Yin, the owner of Sambal Shop in the UK. So yeah, we will be speaking to them, talking to them about, you know, what made them decide to bring Malaysian food into the city they're in, how did they have to adjust, and what can we do more. We had that discussion before about, you know, why Malaysian food isn't so well known outside of Malaysia. Is it like more of like a shock sendiri kind of thing? Is it a bubble? But yeah, we will be speaking to these three individuals. What about you guys? Since we were asking people about bringing that one Malaysian dish, of course, nasi lemak is your OG, right? You would definitely want to bring that because we've spoken about how, you know, you can have it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, or any time in the day. And literally, you can buy nasi lemak any point of the day. Besides that obvious choice, what would you actually bring?
I love how he's scratching his chin, which means he's already like, I don't know about this.
I don't know, but it would be like char kway teow.
I think that would be my number one.
I've been with char kway teow, like, loyally with char kway teow from the time this whole, like, you know, Champions League thing started. But I think it would be besides nasi lemak, which it would be the easiest thing, even if you want to carry it anywhere or, you know, eat it anywhere, char kway teow would be it.
See, I'm going to go with roti canai. And I think the reason that you could do that is because people are already familiar with pancakes, and you could sell it in that kind of, well, it's easy to get hold of the ingredients to do it. You know, it's fairly easy to make a kind of a curry sauce or whatever sauce that is that you want with it. And I think you could make it appeal to other people's palates because it looks familiar. You know, the only thing that's different is that you've got the curry on the side, or you've got, you know, whatever it is, the dal on the side.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing with roti canai, right? If you're going to bring it abroad, then you've also got to bring the curry or the dal or the sambal to complement it, right? And for nasi lemak, there's so many things that makes up the nasi lemak. The rice has to be perfection.
Correct.
You know, there has to be anchovies, ikan bilis. I'm with Liansi, number ending with 6308, who just sent me a WhatsApp message, and I'm with her on this, and it's fruit rojak. Oh, because it's easy to bring around.
Okay, well,
and you've got fruits.
I agree.
You know, great fruits everywhere in the world.
The Western palate, if you're looking at moving it over there, the little shrimp stuff that you put on the rojak, you know, the sauces that you put on, it doesn't jive with people over there.
Well, too bad.
I know, and I'm with you on this. I'm on your side. You know, I'm just telling you.
Right. Okay.
I'm on your side
because this is what I'm bringing myself.
Oh, for yourself. You know? Okay, fine.
Yeah,
I want to ask you a question. You know, when you watch like Tom and Jerry cartoons, and then you see when someone's cooking something and you see the smoke sort of come and seduce Jerry, and then he flies through the air and stuff. That's what kway teow does.
Right.
So you walk by like a char kway teow stall and you get the aroma and then you just float towards it before ordering the char kway teow. So that's my pick.
He's going loopy because he's already had nasi lemak. You know, he's got that sleepy head on right now.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to wrap up for this segment though, folks. But of course, we do want feedback regarding if you were only able to take one Malaysian dish with you overseas, what would it be? Let us know. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We'll be right back after this. It is Deer Hunter with Memory Boy. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The business station.
Was that the good something or other? Because good, right?
Yeah.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
Arvind Brad.
And of course, our producer is
Christine Wong. Hi.
There you go. Right. We are talking about food today because we have a big, big Malaysian food fight. We are down to the finals. The final is between
the banana leaf versus the roti canai. So I've cast my vote now already.
Okay.
I'm not going to break your hearts here, but banana leaf and the roti canai is very tight. Banana leaf rice is at 55%. Roti canai is at 45%. So it's a tough fight for the third place. In the finals, though, the OG nasi lemak is at 76% against the underdog char kway teow. Actually, you know, at the start of this, we talked about how nasi lemak is like the Brazil of Malaysian food, right? It's like, you know, all-time winner. But the char kway teow has, you know, kind of been there and keep winning each single fight that it's been through. It's like the Croatia, it's the underdog. I kind of want the underdog to win, but at 24%, someone's got to do something here.
All right, so we're asking this question, of course. If you could only bring one Malaysian dish overseas, what would it be? I can't tell you how many responses we've had. It's ridiculous. But I am going to go over to Insta story very quickly. Snake Solidus has said Tom Yum. Alex Bakute. Pingy Graham, Maggie Curry. Desmond Lemon, Nasi Lemak, of course. Michelle has said Nasi Lemak. Even if it's Singapore, I'd bring Malaysia Nasi Lemak there.
Bird.
Char Kway Teow, Asam Laksa, Nasi Lemak, Char Kway Teow, Sambal, Wantan Mee. I've then got nasi lemak, pan mi, lemang and rendang, roti canai, durians. I'd like to stink up the country before I leave. Malaysian dish, Assam laksa, Sarawak laksa, nasi lemak, and then Assam laksa or ayam goreng rempah, but maybe the rempah recipe.
Oh, right.
So we've got plenty more to go through, but those are just a choice selection. What have you got over on Twitter?
Yeah, I'll just pick about five. So Hustle Mofo says Rojak Pasembo, which I didn't think about, and it would be perfect.
Funnily enough, somebody else has just mentioned that here.
Okay. Yeah. Olivia says Char Kway Teow, hashtag Team CKT. Mem Bish says gotta be nasi lemak lah, and My Sire says Premium Char Kway Teow. What is Premium Char Kway Teow?
I think it's the one with the big prawns.
The big prawns.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the super
really big
price.
Ones. Yeah.
Okay,
they charge like 12 ringgit or something like that for that. But char kway teow. A lot of people are team char kway teow. So go ahead, cast your vote. Because at 24%, it's taking a beating.
It needs your votes.
John on WhatsApp says it has to be beef rendang because they're delicious and most importantly, they can last forever without getting spoiled. That's true because you actually can freeze them. Also, on the sambal thing, I think sambal is a great complimentary dish for almost any dish, right? And not just Malaysian dish, because I brought, you know, if you go into literally in Pasar Malams or like petrol kiosks as well, they sell them. Even like the convenience store, they sell these the sambal gorengs. So it's basically, you know, sambal, the kind of like, you know, your anchovy sambal, but it's been deep fried. So it's a little bit more flaky. It's like chili flakes, but Malaysian style chili flakes. And I brought this to my trip in Europe and it saved me. Like my my taste palate was rescued because of that. Because, you know, I mean, I love Italian food and, you know, all the European food. But, you know, after a while, all you taste is just cheese, right? And it's no kick, right? There's no oomph, right? Mm. And I just started sprinkling my sambal goreng on almost anything, whether it's the pizzas, the pastas, anything. My soups, I'm just like, you know, bringing a small box of sambal.
And the Italian chefs are going...
Yeah, yeah. Get out! You know, so, yeah, yeah. On a few more on WhatsApp, Gantian Eng, Team Char Kway Teow. Maggie Best says the fried rice, it may not be originally Malaysian, but it's versatile. It suits all palates, spicy, non-spicy, vegetarian, or max on the meat. Or it can just be plain with eggs or everything or anything. Who want, you know, anyone, just throw whatever you have in the fridge, right? That's the beauty of fried rice. Alex says he would go for chendol. That's interesting as well. And then Gunnam says roti canai or the char kway teow. And then Alan Tan says bak kut teh. Eugene Sang says no-brainer nasi lemak. Nini says the satay and more satay. Even can do without the kuah as well. So, yeah.
Actually, satay is something that has made its mark overseas in some countries.
Yeah.
It seems to have done well in some places.
But I think it's because of the Indonesian cuisine that's brought satay out of you know, the Southeast Asia, right? So I've had satay, but it's always been in an Indonesian restaurant outside of Southeast Asia.
Outside of Kajang.
Outside of Kajang. So anyways, like, you know, at the start of the show, we, you know, we did mention that we have three entrepreneurs who've actually managed to bring Malaysian food to countries outside of Malaysia. So the countries are Korea, the US, and in UK. So we asked Basira Yusof, the owner of Aga Aga, a restaurant in Seoul. We asked Samantha Tan, the creator of Sam Tan's Kitchen, who is doing catering in Los Angeles, but previously was in New York and London. And also Mandy Yin, the owner of Sambal Shop, which is a restaurant in London. And we asked the three of them, what made you decide to bring Malaysian food to the city that you're in now?
Anybody who's ever lived abroad in a place that is not very familiar with Malaysian food, the thought has crossed your mind. And the chance came upon me, and I did.
Well, I did it for myself initially because I love eating. I'm a big foodie, and it was my first time away from home. I didn't have a lot of money, and I missed what I grew up eating, and I couldn't really find very authentic versions. And if I did find them in Chinatown or something, it would be expensive, you know. So eventually, I just started messing around in my apartment, just trying to recreate the hawker food that I loved. Then eventually people started asking if they could just pay me to make it for them. So that's what happened. And through word of mouth, it kind of grew into a little like mini business that I do for myself.
I felt that Malaysian food was very underrepresented in London. Thai, Chinese, Indian, Japanese even, all quite well known in the UK, but not so much Malaysian. So I thought I'd try to bridge that gap. And so my mission has always been to make Malaysian food more accessible to Westerners.
So what is your favorite thing about Malaysian food?
I think we do a good job with playing with the different ingredients and cultural elements when it comes to cooking.
I think it is one of the only cuisines that encompasses so many types of cuisine into one umbrella. The flavors are so diverse and complex because it covers Chinese food and Malay food and Indian food and mama food and nyonya food, you know, like everything in between.
It's so diverse. Southern Indian food, Eurasian food, tribal food, Peranakan food, so, you know, Chinese, Malay, just so, so many. And even laksa and sambal, there are so many different varieties of those just two dishes themselves. So it's just really exciting, really vibrant.
Basira, Samantha and Mandy, what has the local response been like to the Malaysian flavours and dishes been, well, especially where you are at the moment?
So far, like our customer breakdown is like 98% locals. I think the biggest takeaway that I've noticed is that they are confused at how familiar they are or how comfortable they are with the flavours. They expect it to be way left field. They expect to be more freaked out by it. The only thing that's throwing them off is the fact that we use different ingredients that's geographically inclined to our area.
for some reason in LA, even though there's a lot of different Asian foods represented here, Malaysian food is one of the few cuisines that you can't really find. So I think generally speaking, people are impressed and curious. You know, a lot of people compare it to Thai food. I think that's the closest equivalent because there's the rice and noodles. You know, there's like char kway teow is kind of like pad kee mao, that sort of thing. But I think they are generally very like wowed by it and wowed by the variety of it.
I couldn't have asked for a better response. People just interested, and laksa is one of those dishes, a bit like rendang, a bit like satay, who they can sort of can conceptually understand. And like ramen here, Vietnamese pho, noodle soups is again a concept that Londoners understand. So I think it really resonates with them, a spicy noodle soup, the king of noodle soups in my mind. I think that's why it's been gone down really well.
You know, I remember when I was in LA earlier this year and I was walking down one of these like food halls, and there was this bright yellow signboard with green wording saying Singaporean banana leaf, and I walked away in disgust. So do you think Malaysian food is well publicized and promoted overseas?
I feel like we could do better. I'd like to lump like food into culture. And as with anything culture, tradition related when it comes to Malaysia, it's not very well taken care of. Every time I have something on the menu that's like kaya or laksa, and they'll say, oh, isn't that Singaporean? I really don't blame them. It's just that we're not marketing ourselves well enough.
I think that it's more prevalent in New York and in London as well. There were a few restaurants in the Leicester Square area. In LA, definitely not. I do feel like I have to explain a lot about Malaysian food. So I don't think it's promoted very well. It's definitely not as ubiquitous as Thai.
I think it is slowly becoming a bit more well-known, but it's sort of down to individuals like myself. And also as tourism, slowly over time, Westerners are coming more to Malaysia now. They realize that the food scene is as good, if not more exciting than, say, Thai and even Singapore. Thailand, over decades, has made a very concerted effort in terms of their driving tourists to their country. So that has also helped them. But for at the moment, you know, I'm doing my best. As well as a few other individuals to help promote Malaysian food internationally.
We got to say thank you to Basira Yusof, the owner of Aga Aga Restaurant in Seoul, Korea. Samantha Tan, the creator of Sam Tan's Kitchen, which is a catering company in Los Angeles, but previously was in New York and London. And also Mandy Yin, the owner of Sambal Shop, which is a restaurant in London. And it's very true what they say, right? It's like, you know, Thai has made their food, very known. Like If you're having that discussion on what you want to have for lunch or dinner, you know, you would have the, oh, we'll go Thai. And you kind of know what to expect when you say, we'll go Thai, or we'll do Chinese, or we'll do Indian. But when you say it's like, oh, we'll do Malaysian, and then you just get like a billion kind of different food and flavors and tastes that just comes into your mind. So with that, though, that's why we're doing this, you know, Malaysian Champions League food fight to see who is the winner. And of course, right now, the nasi lemak OG is winning.
There's one Asian food that we're neglecting or we've not spoken about.
Which
Japanese
one?
Food. You know, yeah. the concept of sushi. And when that first happened, when it first was migrated over to London or to the UK, and Yo Sushi kind of came around with those mechanical conveyor belts, and everybody went, what on earth is this? That's what did it for them.
Yeah.
They took the concept of that and went, okay, what identifies sushi and what makes it interesting?
Yep.
That's what we'll do.
It's that conveyor belt as well,
that's
right?
It.
When you see that restaurant, you know immediately.
Exactly.
It's a Japanese restaurant.
You need something like that.
Yeah.
Right, time to take a short break. Aretha Franklin up next with Good Times. When we come back, all about the thief with a photographic memory, more talk of food, and we'll be giving you some details about the Enterprise Breakaway 2019. All coming up in just a few minutes here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.